Good afternoon. This is Tamara reading the Gilman Star for the week of December 9th. Let's start with the As We See It column. Let's see some Christmas lights out there this year. The Iroquois County Chamber of Commerce is holding its annual Christmas decorating contest for the area. To enter, all you have to do is send an email to iroquoiscountychamber@gmail.com. State your name and attach a photo or video of the decorations. Submissions will be accepted until December 12th, and voting will be done December 14th through 23rd. You can visit the Chamber's Facebook page to enter your vote. Former Watseka resident John Mason, now living in Lafayette, Indiana, and I both went to Monmouth College and both shared the experience of going through basic training at the Harmony Church, named after a WW1 battle section of Fort Benning, Georgia, in the summer of 67. There was a military draft at the time, and a college deferment didn't mean much in some cases. In fact, we were called up to take a pre-induction physical in the fall of night of 66 when we were just starting our sophomore school year, and we went up to an induction center on Canal Street in Chicago. If you talk to some vets, you can get some very good stories about the induction physical. We went up on the same train to Chicago with two other Gilman High School grads, both from Danforth, and both juniors in the Ag program at the University of Illinois. They would join the National Guard, while John and I opted for the two-year ROTC program. We have learned that the Harmony Church basic training billets no longer exist. They were located next to Ranger Pond on the post, and the buildings were tinderboxes built for WW2. We had a fire watch, and there was a critical need for it, and if we wanted hot water for showers, somebody had to shovel coal into the boiler, which nobody did since it was summer in Georgia. In fact, there was a pandemic of sorts going through basic training camps at that time, and we were not required to make our bunk. One of our niece's husbands, now in his 50s, also went through basic there and came across a t-shirt which had Harmony Church emblazoned on the front and was kind enough to buy us one. We were wearing the shirt one day, eating breakfast at a Holiday Inn, and the person next to us wanted to know what denomination Harmony Church was. I know it is taking a long time to get at the point here, but the John Mason we mentioned above just contacted us and told us he had just run across some information to the effect that our drill sergeant, who John was very fond of, had actually been killed in Vietnam not many months after he tutored us through some of the rudiments of combat, and we all thought he was invulnerable with those big jump boots with soles about an inch thicker than ours. He was tough on us, but he was funny, and John was recalling the day he asked John if he had shined his shoes with a Hershey bar. One of the good memories of that stint was hearing one of our fellow trainees telling a new buck sergeant that we were not supposed to do a particular drill that we didn't like anymore. "Who said?" asked the sergeant. "The general," said the trainee. "General who?" asked the sergeant. "General consensus," said our friend. "Never mind, then," replied the sergeant. Wreaths Across America planned for cemeteries. Wreaths Across America will be held at three local cemeteries in the coming weeks when memorial wreaths are placed at the graves of veterans. The Thawville Legion plans to hold their ceremony this Saturday at 11:30 at the Ridgeland Cemetery. Gilman and Onarga Legion and Legion Auxiliaries will both hold their ceremonies at their respective cemeteries on December 19th at 11 p.m. The Gilman ceremony will be at both cemeteries, and the public is welcome as our volunteer helpers. The Onarga Legion has been doing the project the last few years, while this will be the first year for Gilman, which is getting some help from the Onarga Post. December 19 holiday parades planned for Gilman, Onarga. The COVID-19 pandemic may have forced cancellation of any number of events, but it has not completely ruined the spirit of the local folks when it comes to the Yule season. Last Friday night, the Thawville American Legion went ahead with one of its traditional fish fries, albeit as a drive-through event, but the numbers for the night were good, according to Roger Bennett. Sunday night, the folks at Thawville staged a parade and put together a very nice display of Christmas spirit. We now have been told that Gilman parades Christmas parades have been planned for December 19th in both Gilman and Onarga. The parade in Gilman will leave from the high school at 1 o'clock, and parade organizers hope to hit all the streets in town. The action moves to Onarga at 3 with the route to be announced, but it will start at the same location as the Onarga July 4th parade on Roosevelt. The parade will travel through Onarga and finish at the Onarga Theater, where Santa will be from 4 to 6 p.m. All are welcome to join in either parade. The contact person in Onarga is Fred Walraven. In Gilman, people can go to the Gilman Fire Department Facebook page. McCann Plumbing and Heating sold to Onarga natives. CU Trade Services, based in Champaign-Urbana, has recently purchased McCann Heating and Plumbing of Onarga. Ryan Schreifer, Ross Schreifer, natives of rural Onarga and Iroquois West graduates, and Michael Breen, owners of CU Under Construction and CU Trade Services, respectively, are pleased to announce this recent acquisition and are excited to offer our services to the greater Iroquois County area. The firm offers HVAC, plumbing, and electrical services of all kinds for all your residential, commercial, and agricultural needs. At CU, we are looking to bring more job opportunities and community involvement back to the small towns where the Schreifers grew up and Michael is currently living. CU is structured around a family environment, and we strive to reflect this in our day-to-day services for the community. And now the Iroquois County COVID-19 update, dated December 8th, from the Iroquois County Public Health Department. Lab-confirmed cases are 1,943, test results 24,062, negative 22,119, positive 1,682, deaths 41. Of the confirmed cases, 1,457 have recovered and have been released from isolation. 7 are hospitalized, 438 remain isolated at home. By zip code, last week as of 12/8, Gilman 224, Clifton 220, Ashken up 122 to 127, Danforth up 58 to 60, Onarga was 129 up to 150, Watsika 330, now up to 383, Crescent City 46 up to 48, Cisna Park was 89 up to 129, Thawville 15, and Piper City was 94 last week, up to 97. From Alan Weber, Barry and the Bolsheviks returning. It appears Biden's putting the band back together. He thought so much of being part of Barry and the Bolsheviks for 8 years, he's resurrecting it. After all, it seems to have been lucrative to him and his family. Springboarding from debatable election results, Biden is collecting Obama toadies for his cabinet and White House staff. It's beginning to resemble a third Obama turn. These appointments have all the allure of a Florida swamp. Antony Blinken will be Secretary of State. Blinken spent time in multiple posts with Barry Bolsheviks. Blinken will cozy back up to China, thwarting Trump's efforts to level that playing field. The Treasury Secretary post will be a retread from both the Clinton and Obama administrations. Janet Yellen will be taking controls back at the Fed as soon as she can boot Steve Mnuchin from the chair. Alejandro Mayorkas, a lawyer and Obama crony, will head up Homeland Security. He led the implementation of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, DACA, Children of Illegal Immigrants, under Obama. This pick should generate a few million more Dem votes in the next election. The new UN ambassador will be Linda Thomas Greenfield. Would you believe Greenfield was one of the Bolsheviks in Barry's group as ambassador to part of Africa? Avril Haines, who replaced Antony Blinken as deputy security advisor in Barry's Bolsheviks, will now be director of national intelligence. She's the first female to have done something, but I've lost interest in media hyperbole of who's the first to do something. Ron Klain will be Biden's chief of staff. He held the same position for Biden in the Bolsheviks' heyday, as well as for Al Gore during the Clinton crime spree. He was the Ebola response coordinator briefly for Obama. During the Trump years, Klain, a lawyer, worked as a lobbyist for Big Tech. Consider Big Tech now has the direct ear of the president. Steve Ricchetti, senior advisor, was in both Obama and the Clinton crime sprees. Mike Donilon, also senior advisor, was counselor to the vice president under Obama, brother to Tom Donilon, who served under Obama, Clinton, and Carter. The new White House counsel will be Dana Remus, previously serving as an attorney for the Bolsheviks, and the vitriolic Michelle Obama. Former Obama deputy assistant Jake Sullivan will be the new national security advisor. And then there's this swamp creature. Former Secretary of State and roadie for the Bolsheviks, John Kerry, will be climate czar. This slimeball will tell us sea levels are rising, yet he plopped down $12 million for a historic oceanfront property in the Cape Cod area recently. He owns multiple mansions, two luxury lots, exotic cars, and his own private jet. Yet this blowhard is going to scold us for not taking the train to work. His carbon footprint in a day is larger than ours in a month. We should question why these people all went back into yet more government jobs. What was so bad about the private sector where we work? The Obama administration and his ilk were the epitome of a failed social experiment, and one we shouldn't repeat. Much like everything that was Obama, the hypocrisy and arrogance of the left continues and is nothing short of belligerent. Consider Speaker Pelosi getting her hair done in a closed salon. Chicago Mayor Lightfoot participating in a Biden victory street party, sans mask, and then shutting down Thanksgiving. California Governor Newsom dining at expensive restaurants in a large band group. Illinois Governor Pritzker jetting family to Florida and lying about it. Denver Mayor Hancock flying to Mississippi, incredibly 1 hour after telling everyone to stay home for Thanksgiving. New York Governor Cuomo casually admitting to inviting his mother to New York from Florida. She had better sense. What happened to leading by example? Why do we allow this? The more I research, the more it appears this election was fraudulent. Lawyer and constitutional scholar Mark Levin believes so too. He states judges grossly overstepped their authority by unconstitutionally going around state legislatures with absurd voter rulings. Without campaigning, Biden defied every election norm in decades. Trump is the first incumbent in a century to gain votes, 11 million more, but lose re-election. He won 18 of 19 bellwether counties across the country that have correctly called the winner of the election for the past 40 years. The swamp won and America lost. Worse, I have an unshakable feeling Obama will be pulling the controls in Oz-like fashion while Biden mindlessly carves his initials into the Resolute desk. Trump voters need to keep in mind there are 74 million of us, a formidable group of people. Trump's principles, or perhaps Trump himself, will rebound in some way, and we need to be ready. Don't listen to the pundits and local op-ed writers calling on us to come together in some kumbaya moment. I promise you, they wouldn't have said that. They wouldn't have said that had Trump won. Their comrades would have been on the street destroying more cities. Democrats and the media never let up with their resistance for 1 second while Trump was in office. They never gave him credit for anything and treated us like we were buffoons for supporting him. Stay defiant, Trump Nation. Echo calls for defiance in every corner of the country. Your children and grandchildren's futures. We must defy the overlords of the swamp and the creep of socialism. And now a letter to the editor from Renee Sear. Hi, John. You mentioned in your column that one of your readers used the example of 400,000 deaths each year from smoking and the continued legal sale of cigarettes as justification to defy, resist, ignore mitigation efforts to reduce the spread of COVID-19. Perhaps this was not the actual intention of the comment. Regardless, I think it is important to remind your reader that smoking is banned in public places by the Smoke-Free Illinois Act in order to protect people from exposure to secondhand smoke, a carcinogen classified by the EPA and the U.S. Surgeon General. If your reader lit up a cigarette in a retail store, doctor's office, beauty salon, school, etc., he or she would be asked to either extinguish the cigarette or leave. Wearing a mask is essentially the same idea. It is done to protect others and the individual wearing it from the potential risk of an unpredictable airborne pathogen. As the number of coronavirus cases, nearly 15 million, and the number of coronavirus deaths approaching 284,000 people continue to rise across the country, shouldn't we all want to do what we can to protect and care for others, by following the CDC and state guidelines, the very small sacrifice of wearing a mask in public may save a life. Watsika man victim in a car accident. A Watsika man was killed in an auto accident last Thursday afternoon in northeast Iroquois County. According to the Iroquois County Sheriff's Department, James F. Green, 62, of Watsika, was traveling north on County Road 1900 East on a loose gravel road. Green began to lose control of the 2003 Ford Explorer and entered the west ditch embankment, then proceeded to overturn, approximately 2.5 times ejecting him in the process, before coming to rest on its roof in a plowed field. Green's passenger was transported to Riverside Hospital in Kankakee with non-life-threatening injuries. Green was transported to Riverside, where he succumbed to his injuries. Carol and John Hanlon mark their 50th anniversary. John and Carol Hanlon celebrate 50 years of wedded bliss December 12th. They met in the 6th grade, married in 1970 in Danforth, and are currently wandering Florida beaches. They have 2 sons and daughters-in-law, Matt and Christy, and Jason and Stephanie, and 4 grandchildren, Dylan, Grace, Caitlin, and Colton. The Hanlons have resided in Gilman since their marriage and now, since recently retired, enjoy traveling more than ever. Love and well wishes can be sent via Facebook.com to Carol.Hanlon. If you can obtain a print copy of the Gilman Star, there are some photos of the Thawville Christmas Parade. For the 3rd year, the Crescent City Historical Society sponsored a barrel decorating contest for Crescent City businesses for the Christmas season. This was the 1st year, however, with a theme, which was White Christmas. 7 businesses called in or turned in their participation slips, and those were Crescent Iroquois Fire Protection District, Thrivent, Denise Kosick, Dr. Rodney Yergler, St. Joseph's Catholic Church, Crescent City Post Office, Mark Raby Construction, and Kim Raby's Child Daycare Home. Chosen as winners were St. Joseph's Catholic Church. The barrel is located in front of Schwage Print Shop, Crescent City Post Office, and Kim Raby's Child Daycare Home. The barrel is located in front of the Crescent City Community Center. As with so many other organizations, the CCHS had to cancel its Christmas open house, along with its monthly meeting. The group is still accepting new memberships and the donation or lending of items which help share the history of the small village. For more information, contact any of the following: Pat Peterson at 815-383-2695, Carolyn Rapp at 815-683-2658, Yvonne Doggett at 815-683-2187, Cindy Puffle, 815-683-2666, or Jean Heron at 815-683-2560. CDC Quarantine Guidance Update. On December 2nd, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, released new options for public health authorities to consider for establishing quarantine timeframes for contacts of a person with SARS-CoV-2. Click here to review the full details on these new options. The CDC currently recommends a quarantine period of 14 days. However, the following options to shorten quarantine are acceptable alternatives. Quarantine can end after day 10 without testing, and if no symptoms have been reported during daily monitoring. With this strategy, residual post-quarantine transmission risk is estimated to be about 1% with an upper limit of about 10%. Quarantine can end after day 7 if a diagnostic specimen tests negative and if no symptoms were reported during daily monitoring. The specimen may be collected and tested within 48 hours before the time of planned quarantine discontinuation, for example, in anticipation of testing delays, but quarantine cannot be discontinued earlier than day 8. In other words, the earliest they could test would be on day 6. With this strategy, the residual post-quarantine transmission risk is estimated to be about 5% with an upper limit of about 12%. Due to the risk of severe illnesses and congregate transmission, IDPH does not recommend application of the 2 shortened quarantine options in congregate settings. A thank you to the Gilman Fire Departments, including Danforth and Ashcombe. Dennis and Louise Conrad and family would like to thank Danforth, Ashcombe, and Gilman Fire Departments for their quick response to our house fire on Thanksgiving Eve. We are so grateful for all the volunteer firemen who work to save our home. We are so thankful for all they do for their communities. We would also like to thank all our neighbors for their support, especially Mike and Mandy, for opening their home to us during the fire. Thank you to all our friends and family who offered support in any way, be it a meal or prayers or just a hug. We'll turn now to the death notices for the week. Gail Y. Sanders, 82, of Gilman, passed away Tuesday, December 1st at Avondale Estates in Elgin. Private funeral services were held at Knapp Funeral Home Services in Watseka. Memorials may be made to Alzheimer's Association. Please share a memory of Gail at knappfuneralhomes.com. James Francis Green, 62, of Watseka, passed away December 3rd at Riverside Medical Center in Kankakee. Visitation will be held from 2 to 4 p.m., celebration of life on Saturday, December 12th at Blurton Funeral Home in Hoopston. Cremation rites will be accorded. Memorials may be made to the family to assist them with the funeral expenses. Condolences may be sent to the family on his everlasting memorial page at blurtonfuneralhomes.com. And now from Russ Mann, Fixing a Broken Government. It was a pivotal time in the history of this nation, a time like today when citizens of this great nation had been divided by passionate issues. America needed healing. The President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, stepped forward to address that task at a place called Gettysburg. After restating the principles on which this nation was formed and reviewing the events of the previous and tragic 4 years of the war, President Lincoln declared that the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. Yet 155 years later, the nation still struggles to survive and the wounds from that civil war still fester. Today, following likely the most divisive time in American history, after more than 4 years of an American president preaching division and hatred each day, a new president faces the formidable challenge of putting a nation back together and salvaging a government of the people, by the people, for the people, that has been decimated by incompetence and wanton destruction. Following the 2016 election, President Donald J. Trump had chosen Steve Bannon as his White House chief strategist. Bannon only served during the first 7 months of Trump's term, yet his declared agenda, the destruction of the governmental structure, has lingered beyond his tenure. Bannon once described himself with the following statement, "I am a Leninist. Lenin wanted to destroy the state, and that's my goal, too. I want to bring everything crashing down and destroy all of today's establishment." But it gets worse. Bannon is so far off the wall that his Twitter account was permanently suspended after he suggested that Dr. Anthony Fauci and FBI Director Christopher Wray should be beheaded. Steve Bannon held a belief that a worker with 5 days' training could run a government department, and Trump's appointment seemed to reflect that. Never in the history of this nation has our government been staffed with people so ill-fit to the jobs at hand. President Biden is inheriting a broken government that is barely functioning, with skeleton agencies. Departments are understaffed, and any dedicated career staffers still on board are disheartened by the fiascos and intimidations of the past 4 years. Staffers had to prove their loyalty not just once, but daily, or they were toast. Observers report that morale throughout government is at an all-time low. Trump's promise was to drain the swamp. He instead turned government employment into a snake pit. The new president-elect is beginning to form a government with appointees that have tried and true skills and experience to perform the jobs that they are being chosen for. That stands in stark contrast to the previous administration that chose staff with no knowledge of the job or experience in government. They were chosen as rewards for their loyalty and or monetary support of the president, or nepotism, and many of the department heads chosen were formerly employees of the industries that agencies regulated or they had been lobbyists for that industry. Additionally, vindictive Donald J. Trump had set into play a slash-and-burn plan, to leave a government in as much disarray as possible for the incoming Biden administration. But nothing he has done quite equals his bungling of the pandemic that is sweeping the planet. In late February 2020, a report by the Johns Hopkins Center ranked the United States as the number one most prepared of 195 nations on readiness to confront a pandemic. But the best car on the track will spin out at the first curve without a skilled driver at the wheel, and it did. The response was haphazard at best and non-existent at its worst. That number one nation now comes in dead last in its pandemic response. The ensuing virus-driven recession has permanently eliminated 4 million jobs. One in three U.S. families with children do not have enough to eat, and tens of millions of Americans are at risk of losing their homes. Meanwhile, the country has lost more than 97,000 small businesses for good, and without swift action by this apathetic Senate under Mitch McConnell, more will go under and more jobs with them. The outgoing president, Donald Trump, wanted to run his 2020 election campaign on the economy. In his mind, a vigorous COVID-19 response, shutting down to get the pandemic under control, was unacceptable. Instead, Donald Trump attempted to prop up his coveted stock market with bodies of more than 270,000 dead Americans. First order of business for the new president will be to get control of the pandemic. That will be painful and difficult and will draw criticism from the people who screwed it up in the first place and who continue, in epic fashion, to spread it. But those unpopular decisions will be necessary. But for a change, there will be competence. People with expert knowledge of the task at hand will be in place. We will again have a government of, by, and for the people. First consideration of the new administration will be how decisions made affect you and I and the good of the nation, not how it will feed the ego and bank account of a narcissistic wannabe dictator. If your name is on the birthday list, remember to claim your treat at Gilman McDonald's, Gilman Dairy Queen, the Front Porch, or the Arnarga Theater. Just clip it from the paper and take the birthday list to the Dairy Queen, the McDonald's, the Front Porch, or the theater. And finally, a letter to the editor on campus life. I wanted to check in with local families to provide a reminder and update on YFC campus life programs in your area. What is campus life? It is a ministry that combines healthy relationships with creative programs to help young people make good choices and establish a solid foundation for life. Currently, we are running both MS and HS programs in Central and IW school districts. We know that your plate is full with everything going on, and we want to offer a helping hand in ministering to your youth and the troubles they face today. Youth today need a safe place to discuss how this season is affecting them and their mental health. Small group discussions at Campus Life offer this opportunity to let youth talk. Currently, the IWMS Campus Life is continuing to meet on Monday nights from 6:30 to 8 at the Garage Community Center, led by Abby Fisher. Nash MS Campus Life is meeting on Thursday nights from 6:30 to 8 at the Old Clifton School, led by Mackenzie Evans. If you'd like to help keep this ministry going, please prayerfully consider donating to help with our costs. We would also take any volunteers who would like to sign up for a background check and fill out a volunteer app. Thank you from Tim Tamman, Iroquois County YFC Director, Bourbonnais, Illinois. This has been Tamara reading the Gilman Star. I hope to read with you again soon. Have a beautiful day.